October 5th. Last evening, Dorothy Young and I listened to the second tape, in which there was discussion by Dr. Brewjoy and myself. In this, he discussed the three possible courses for me that were outlined by Robert Johnson in his analysis of the two Mephisto dreams. These three possible courses are as follows, as they're suggested. First, that I should die. And this was given as the easiest and simple course of action. Second, that I should find a third feminine companion. And third, that I might achieve a second enlightening realization, which was described as rare anywhere in the world and doubly rare in the West. Now, in point of fact, the actual course of life which I have been following has been none of these three. For the last 3 1/3 years, I have lived in my residence, the one that Gertrude and I built. I have produced some tapes for convention, and some of them were well received, but I have not been producing tapes generally. After the effort to produce the tapes, either for the convention of 1979 or 1980, on the 16th or 17th of August of that year, in an altered state of consciousness at night, I saw my own anima. To be sure, I can't prove that this vision was her, but I had a strong impression that she was the anima. I not only saw her as though she were a physical person, but I also grasped her character and her state. She was in a state near to exhaustion. Her attitude was that of self-giving without self-consideration. I received a warning out of the experience that she was near the point of exhaustion. And as a result, I did not attempt to produce for the next 9 months. I did not, in 81, have any impression that she was in a state of exhaustion. The experience of her was highly delightful, and I could see how it is psychologically possible that a male would be drawn to those women that would be a fit base for projection of the anima imago. This is stated in the psychological literature as a fact. and I saw here how it could be. Now the actual life I have been living follows neither of the three courses outlined by Robert Johnson and that were subsequently discussed by Dr. Brew Joy. Dr. Brew Joy recommended the solitary path, and that indeed is what I have been following, not from choice, but from necessity. There was no other path available if I excluded the act of self-destruction as I do. This is not at all an easy life to live. There is an undertone of bleakness in it. It does not have the quality of heart balm which Dr. Joy spoke of, but a sense of heart emptiness. The driving force that keeps me going is the will and a sense of duty to continue until I get something of a release from this obligation. It is not at all an easy life, but somehow I've been able to manage, and hopefully there might be some relief. I would choose the way of the companion. As to the third way, that would no doubt be a noble way. But when one of the brothers heard the analysis made by Robert Johnson, he spoke to me and said that if I went that third way, it would mean my death in a short time. And when I told this to Robert Johnson at a later meeting, he confirmed it. And it seems that that is not the way that the brother would recommend for me. I have thus been going what is in effect a fourth way, not of my choosing, but by reason of necessity. I doubt that the way of the feminine companion is possible. There are so many elements involved. I doubt that there may be even one woman in the world who would qualify, for she would have to be willing to go with me because she valued the work. And a possibility of rapport on both sides would be essential. And is there one that would so qualify? I have little or nothing to offer in my own proper person, except the work itself. So it may in fact be true that there is not one individual who would qualify for this office.